It's good to be at that place where we're beginning to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, where we're beginning to see things begin to open up, beginning to become a little bit more normal. But I suppose there are those of us who are cynical, maybe just a bit concerned, and see that light at the end of the tunnel as maybe the train that's coming with its light on. There are others who say, well, when you see light at the end of the tunnel, somebody will build more tunnel for you, and we change things. But as God's people, as those people who believe that our God is the Ancient of Days, this God who has been faithful all the way through, who will continue to be faithful, we live in hope. Not just a wishful thinking, but a hope that is ours because God is trustworthy. God is faithful. And we are people who live in that hope. And there are many hopeful signs around us. We need to give thanks for the success of the vaccination program as it's rolled out. Alongside that, we still need to show care. Face, hands, space, we still need to observe all those things to be careful. Within our congregation here, we are beginning to see things gradually opening up. It's lovely to see a few more folks coming along on a Sunday morning. It was lovely during the week to have a face-to-face time of prayer in our building. Even though we're spaced out a little bit and wearing masks, it was just so good to be there together. And as I've said, over the summer months, there are different events planned to help us make those connections again. Please, please do be part of those. Do see what's going on and be part of it. But there's still a lot that is uncertain. Still a lot that we're not sure of. What we can be certain of is that things will probably never be the same again as they once were. Our experience of church will have changed over this past year, 18 months. Someone has said that you never dip your toe in the same river twice. It's the same river, but the water moves on. You never actually dip your toe in the same river twice. There's constant change. And so things will have changed. But what will have changed? How will it change? What should change? What should not change? Those are the questions that face us as we start to look at opening up church again. And it's good that we consider those things, and our elders are working through those things. To help us, I want us to look at this little passage from chapter 2 of Revelation that Caroline read for us. It's a letter to a church. Church with people like you and me in it. A church that struggled to work out what it was to live for Jesus in their situation. The church in Ephesus. Ephesus was possibly the most important city in Western Asia Minor, which we now call Turkey. And Ephesus was the most important city there. It was based on a harbor. And the harbor opened up onto the Caistor River, which in turn opened up into the Aegean Sea. And because there were great trade routes that passed by Ephesus, it became a huge center. It was so important. It had all these routes that enabled trade to be carried out, commerce to go on, and it became a very important place for commerce and also for worship. One of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis, was in Ephesus. And it's there. If you go back to Acts chapter 19, you find Paul spending 3 years proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in this very important city. This strategically important place for commerce, for worship. And there it is that Paul spends out those 3 years and establishes the church in Ephesus. And apparently the church flourishes. when Paul writes to that church later on, he writes this: "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." This was a church that was flourishing. Paul was just deeply thankful when he looks at the church, sees their love for the Lord Jesus and for each other, and he's just moved. In Revelation 2, Jesus visits the church in Ephesus. He looks at the church. You can picture Jesus, talks about him walking through the church, almost like a watchman walking around that church. And he notices a lot of things about it. You're a church of good deeds. You're a church that's generous, helpful, kind. You're a church that works hard. You're a church that perseveres. You're a church that doesn't tolerate either evil or false teaching. You're a church that endures hardship and has not grown weary. What a great report for a church. Hardworking, persevering, don't tolerate evil or false teaching, the good deeds that you do. What a great report. Serving God in either Ephesus or in Ballywillan or wherever you are this morning still involves all those things. Those good deeds, that hard work, that perseverance, that standing against what is wrong and standing for what is right. It still involves all those things and much more. And that church in Ephesus must have been a busy, bustling place. On the surface, everything looks well. But it is so easy to become sidetracked. Sidetracked into a busyness that makes us lose sight of whose we are and what we're about. They got so caught up in just being and doing all those things that they'd lost sight of who and what they were. I read not that long ago about a man who was an absolutely superb cook. People loved to have him cook meals for him. He became a chef to celebrities. They would fly him all over the world so he could cook meals for them and their friends. He was a great chef. And then people started to say to him, you know what, you should write down your recipes, write down your techniques, write down. And so he started to write books. And he wrote books and he wrote books. But the sad thing is he never cooked anymore. He lost sight of it. Got caught up in something which was good and important and right, but he lost sight of his first love. And never cooked anymore. We need to keep serving God diligently and with perseverance. But Jesus tells this church in Ephesus, this church which is bustling and busy, this church which seems to be flourishing, Jesus tells the church they have forsaken their first love. Now, we're not told whether that's their love for Jesus, their love for each other within the church, or their love for the world, probably all three. But they've lost it. And then he calls them to repent. And repent simply means turn around. You're going the wrong direction. Turn yourself around. Come back. Come back to this first love. These last months have given us opportunities to stop doing all the things that we've always done. We've been forced into it. All those things that we thought were essential, all those things that we thought were vital, we've been forced to let them go. To leave behind frantic busyness and remember our first love. I love the fact that every bulletin we produce, every bit of headed paper we send out from here, has our mission statement on it: to know Christ and lovingly to make him known. It's a reminder of whose we are and what we're about. But it is so easy to get immersed in the routines of life, things which we need to do and need to be, but we get immersed in those and we neglect our relationship with Jesus Christ and the people around us. As we start to reopen, whatever we do, it's important that Jesus Christ is at the center. As we restart, how do the things that we're doing help us either to know Christ or make him known? There's a stark warning to that church in Ephesus. Jesus looks at this church, which in many ways has a lot going for it, but says, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, i.e. remove the church. If you want to exist at the church, you need to turn around and come back to your first love. If you were to head to Turkey, don't know whether Turkey's on the green list or whatever list, so I don't know where it is. But if you were able to go there, you wouldn't find the bustling city of Ephesus. Because gradually over the years, that harbor that Ephesus was built on silted up. So those bigger ships couldn't get in and out. The trade started to go down, moved elsewhere. And the city gradually went down. The harbor silted up, commerce stopped, and the city disappeared. That city of Ephesus, which was dependent upon the harbor for its life, lost sight of it. Let that harbor silt up, let that harbor go, and the city disappeared. But the sad thing is, neither will you find a thriving church in Ephesus. Because just as the city hadn't fully caught on to the fact that it was dependent on the harbor for its life, so that church didn't heed the warning of Jesus that it was dependent upon him for their life. And the church went. It's sad. It's a warning to us. It is so easy to neglect our relationship with Jesus Christ, on which our individual lives are built and on which the lives of our congregations are built. But as always, there is this message of hope through this letter. Those who not only heard but took to heart what Jesus said were promised that they would be restored to that perfect fellowship for which God has created them. We often sing that wonderful hymn, "The Church is One Foundation." Well, what is it? Is it our programs? Is it our busyness? Is it our beautiful building? Is it our people? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Ephesus forgot that and lost it. May God give us the grace not only to sing "the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord," but to live it wherever he's placed us. There is no other foundation. No matter how great it looks, it will be lost because it does not last for eternity. Only that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, only what we build in him and on him will last. As we reopen, as we rebuild, let's each of us remember that first love to which we're called, and not lose sight. Turn our eyes upon Jesus and his glory and his grace. He who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says. Amen.